Hi, and welcome to The Smart Chiropractor. I'm Dr. Jeff Langmaid here with Dr. Jason Deitch, where every week in 30 minutes, we're going to break down how you can become a smart chiropractor. And to us, that's all about stable and predictable income, what we call having a payday practice. We've talked mindset. We've talked a little bit about the difference between marketing and advertising. And on today's episode, we are really breaking down email. The title of this is Why Your Chiropractic Email Newsletters Are Not Enough. Let's start right from the top. Why is email important? Why do docs even need to know about email?
Email is the most underrated power tool we have to communicate with people. Underrated and underutilized. There's so much benefit. It is the most broad, most universal, and most direct way to connect with people. We all still use it in most cases. Kids Snapchat may be a little different right now. My 12-year-old, but he's not your target audience. Email really is the way for us to stay in touch with each other. And it's important because if you learn to use it right, and that's part of, I think, what we need to unpack in this episode is, you know, there's a difference between saying, email, I got a Gmail account. I send an email every once in a while. I send and receive. What's the problem? But when we say email, what we're really referring to are sort of four different categories. How you're using email in order to stay in touch with your people weekly. How you're using email in order to, you know, promote a, for example, monthly idea, a campaign of some sort. This month we're talking about blank, and you can change that up so you create variety. Then there's using email to recommend products that you authentically recommend, whether they're your products, other people's products, whether you sell them or other people sell them. People look to their chiropractor for advice, and part of that advice includes, what should I buy? You know, what should I take? What should I do? What should I use? What should I wear? What should I sleep on, et cetera? And then the last way to really use email super efficiently is as a way to promote events. Oftentimes those events are on social media or, you know, at some point in your practice or Zoom or something along those lines. And so, you know, a newsletter is not enough because, you know, that's what most chiropractors are like, oh, I got to get in touch with people, you know, through email. Who can write me a newsletter and handle all this for me? But most chiropractors don't even read their own newsletters, let alone write them.
Yeah, this is a profession. This needs to be a professional aspect of your marketing. And a couple of points there. I'm gonna throw some sizzle on what you just said. How many docs out there have had products that collect dust, right? You know, or they had all these products that collected dust because they weren't able to appropriately sell them in the practice, and now they're like, well, I got rid of that. Now we just drop ship them, but their sales are zero. Email will get you. It should. Get if you're using email correctly, you should have consistent and recurring product sales week after week, month after month. Second aspect of what you discussed, your event. How many of us have done an event and a tumbleweed showed up? Or, you know, we hope there would be 10 and two showed up. You know, and you have an email list of 50, 500, some docs 5,000, and you didn't promote the event. So it can get, you know, events going. And the third component of it is, and this is what we see with the smart chiropractor, is we've seen lists as small as a few hundred generate 3 to 4 patient reactivations every single week at a near zero cost, no advertising cost. You're emailing, connecting with people over time. And all of those are revenue generators that are relationship first. They're not necessarily sending an email, you know, the worst thing in the world. It's like, you know, doc sends an email once a quarter talking about what's new in the practice as if anybody gives a crap, right? You know, it's like, are you connecting and telling the benefits of what you do? How does it impact the life of the individual on your list? How, you know, what new updates do you have that are tying back always to the benefit for the person? And this gets into teaching and inviting consistently, as we talked about last episode. Let's talk and unpack a little bit of that weekly email. Why is the weekly email important? And like, how does a doc even begin to conceptualize it, saying like, that sounds like a lot of work, a weekly, oh my gosh. Like, I send one a quarter and I barely get it out the door. How the heck am I even gonna start thinking about this?
It's a great question. I just think of, you know, the mindset chiropractors should be holding within this conversation. The metaphor is similar to, you know, if you say to most people, they go, you know, you want to go to a chiropractor? They go, well, why would I do that? Do I look like I'm in pain right now? You know, why would I need that? And that's how many chiropractors respond to email. They're like, oh, is it going to get me a new patient? Like, is it going to get me out of pain? Is it going to solve my immediate focus or not? So when we talk about, for example, staying in touch with your email list, which is oftentimes your patient base, a lot of docs are like, but they're already patients. You know, like, I'm not in pain. Those aren't the people I'm trying to communicate with. I need more new ones. And that's the exact opposite strategy that we're talking about here. One of our core philosophies, we talked about it on mindset, we'll keep talking about it, is that, you know, the way we prioritize it is your next best new patient is in fact keeping your current patients or clients, whatever you refer to them as. And the way you keep them is by continually teaching them new things and growing the relationship, because you keep teaching them more about how they can live a great life. And there's never a time that normal people don't want to keep learning about how they can have a better life. And a weekly newsletter is a great way to do several things. One, teach and invite consistently. Weekly, you're teaching them something. And if you really create the right type of email, whether it's a newsletter format or any other kind of format, you should really always have a, what we call to action, invitation. Hopefully you've learned something. Hopefully you're having a great week. You know, we care about you. And by the way, here's an invitation to take a next step. Or here are several options you can take as a next step. You know, hey, look for our next week's email. Hey, schedule a telehealth appointment. Schedule a phone consult. Schedule a live one-on-one consult. So you can teach them something. You can invite them to take a next step. And you can invite them to share this with others. So we're really laying out the formulas for chiropractors to go, I get it, I can do that. Just like when people sit and hopefully learn from them, they're like, of course my spine misaligns. I'm using it every day all the time. I've been putting so much down. I see the light. That makes more sense to me than not in pain, don't need chiro, in pain, crack my neck. That's the premise of really email, is it's the most powerful, least expensive, and really greatest sustainable way to build relationship over time. You just got to know, you know, how do you use it? And just sending out through Mac Mail or Gmail isn't the technology that allows you to build weekly campaigns, you know, automatic daily campaigns or several day campaigns. A welcome to our practice campaign. I mean, how does every chiropractor not have a system set up so that every new person that comes to their practice receives the same welcome experience via email, whether it's written, whether it's audio, whether it's video, so that the doctor knows I've shared my truth, I've said my piece, I've given people the opportunity to learn my truth and the truth I would invite them to consider, because we're all different, right? So they come to your practice. Don't you want to establish why you're different than other practices? Don't you want to reaffirm you made the right choice to be here? Don't you want to give them something to look forward to understand, you know, what the long-term benefits of a relationship with you look like? Those are all the possibilities with email, and a weekly newsletter is sort of that vehicle to be able to teach and invite consistently.
Yeah, there's a couple of practical tips that I think are important that I'll kind of drop in right now. Number one, if you're listening, watching, and you're thinking to yourself, gosh, like I only have, you know, 25 email addresses, 50 email addresses, you know, make it a point next week, literally for your front desk staff, for every person that comes in, hey, Justin, we're updating our records. We noticed we didn't have your email address listed with your file, and that'll help get your numbers up quickly, right? So there's one practical tip. The other thing I think that's important, Paul and I were discussing this a couple of days ago, is, you know, some docs out there might be saying, man, I don't know, like what the open rates aren't what they used to be and things like that. And while that's true, you know, what we were discussing and my point on it was, But it's a predictable, exceptionally slow decline. Like, you know, as Seth Godin would say, marketers ruin everything, right? So, you know, email certainly had its heyday of 90% open rates when, you know, 90% of the emails that you send out, 90% of the people are opening it. And, you know, now that might look more towards a great open rate being 20%. But the beauty of email, in my opinion, is the fact that by it becoming ubiquitous is what sort of pushed down the effectiveness, right? If you deem effectiveness 100% conversion, that's an impossibility. But what we have seen is email has been around 25 to 35 years, depending upon where you want to say it started in its adoption. And it still produces results week after week, month after month, day after day, hour after hour for every company. So, you know, it's so predictable. And this will tie into some of our future episodes with social as well. Well, not reaching everybody. Don't stress about that. You want to be on the platforms that are predictable. And email is very predictable. Like, you know, now if your open rate, quote unquote, is 5%, you got a subject line issue, right? You know, that some that you're, it's not compelling enough. People ain't clicking and opening your email. So while it might not be deemed as effective in true conversion sense as 5 to 10 years ago, nothing is. That's the expectation of evolving marketing. And email is a cornerstone because it's been around for years and because there is the data that you can look back on and start to understand, well, what is good? What's working and what's not? What is good and what's not? And never forget about just the branding aspect of it as well. For every person, you know, that opens the email, only a small subset of those will click to schedule the appointment, et cetera. But you're still getting your message out there, which helps you avoid having to compete on an ad Google advertisement for somebody that's already on your list. And that is a absolutely critical component. The patient's gonna choose when they want to experience what you do. You want to have as many at-bats as possible to showcase the benefits of what you do. And outside of social, email is probably, there is no better place.
Yeah, and I'm gonna offer a contrarian viewpoint to that as well, because that is that's the way it's taught out there and it's all true. However, just like I can say to you, you know, 60%, 50 to 60% of the United States is obese, that doesn't mean I'm going to be, right? So when it comes to open rates, you know, for the most part, my family opens my emails, 100% of them, right? When you send me an email, I open 100% of your emails, okay? So there are averages, right? 98.6 is an average, but some people run higher, some people run lower. And the point, and I'll say sort of the good news to all of that, is, you know, that's marketer speak. That's marketers marketing and sharing averages and statistics, and oftentimes in order to sell you something. But the reality is it starts with your relationship with your audience. So you take any chiropractor's office, you take 100 emails, the open rate's going to be absolutely relative to the relationship those people have with the chiropractor, right? If the chiropractor sends it to 100 friends and family, there's going to be a lot of people that open it. If they send it to 100 strangers, there's not. So we keep bringing into the conversation the idea that relationship supersedes everything, and that it's the connection you make and the trust you build that really will determine the effectiveness of any of these things. You know, we've got hundreds of chiropractors that use our product, our service. There's a whole bunch of them that are like, this is the absolute greatest thing ever. And there's a few of them that go, this is a waste of my money. Now, what's the difference? Somehow we're not resonating energetically with those people that, not that it didn't work, they're not working it. Why aren't they working it? We somehow didn't get the right connection and fit. Maybe they thought it was another advertising program that was just going to get them in with no effort and, you know, no sense of uniqueness or distinction, because they're stuck in their old mindset of like, you just run the ads, I'll do the adjusting. That's not exactly our culture, right? So yes, we do it for you, but we start the conversation. We don't close the deal, so to speak. So a lot of it has to do with how doctors show up, how they think about it. Email really is, again, the most direct, most efficient. The real question is, what's your message? Who's your audience? What's your relationship with that audience? How frequently are you sending something out? And in terms of, you know, effectiveness, what is your call to action? How are you measuring effectiveness? You know, if you're selling a product, that's one measure of effectiveness. If you're just informing people, that's another measure of effectiveness. If you're, you know, as we've got some great feedback on you know, our weekly newsletter that goes out that has a, if you haven't been in recently, click here to make an appointment, and it goes directly to their digital scheduler. You know, it's effective when we see certain clients who set things up the right way and really are enthusiastic about what's going on. Attitude more than energy or effort. That they send out an email, or it's automatically sent for them with our system, and they literally look at their calendar and it starts filling up automatically. I mean, that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen and heard of. And I love that kind of feedback. So it works for those who work the tools. And that's one of the things that I think people don't understand. They're like, how do I know it works? It'd be like me saying, how do I know a hammer is going to work? Well, if you know how to use a hammer and build something with a hammer, it will work. If you don't, it's a waste of money. And that's really, I think, a lot of these tools. Email is one of them. They're like, well, I sent an email once and it wasn't really fruitful for me. Well, what'd you say? Who'd you send it to? What's your connection with the person you sent it to? How often did you follow up? And all the details that go from I did it to I did it and it worked.
Yeah, the details matter a lot. And one point that you brought up that's really important is that it's actually the more that you send, the more that people open and engage. And it's almost a weird dichotomy. It makes total sense when you break it down, but it's almost, a lot of docs out there are, am I sending? They're concerned. They haven't sent an email in 2 years, and they're concerned that sending two next week is going to alienate everybody. And it's about, you know, teaching people to learn from you, right? And it's about showing up consistently, as we've talked about time and time again. We see that when people are emailed, nobody probably wants, there's extremes. It's very unlikely, no matter how much value you are providing, that somebody would want to receive 20 emails from you in a day, right? Of being extreme. But, you know, a cadence of one, two, sometimes even three per week, depending upon the situation, can actually increase your statistics. And getting back to what you were saying with, you know, with the family as well, it's like, imagine if you just, you know, imagine if you emailed somebody once every 10 years, and you know, would you expect, you know, that crew of people, like maybe they were waiting for it, maybe not, but now it's a chance. As opposed to if you're like, well, they know that I give them a call, or in this case, send them an email every Friday at 2 p.m. They're waiting for it, and they're excited to get it. They're going to engage more. It gets back to a lot of the core competencies that we were discussing, and the onboarding increases retention. I mean, if we just bring it out to the practical level, you know, confusion early on. Most docs, those first between visits 1 and 3 are sort of that critical relationship time. Hopefully you've done the work on the front end, but so many docs don't, that when it's really, they're reliant so heavily upon their report of findings, right?
Well, and their staff, they're like, I hope my staff had a good day. I hope they're on today. And they're good days, bad days. Email is got a good day every day.
Right. Yeah. And staff change outs. Who hasn't gone through and had multiple different people come through their practice? Very few people have had all of the same staff forever. So it eliminates the variability. It provides more consistency, as you're saying, consistency in timeliness and consistency in messaging. And that helps so much because when people first come in, if they have a concern, if these concerns aren't proactively addressed, and as you know, as I like to say, if you're just doing what's in the four walls during that 15 minutes to 1 hour, and there's multiple, you're missing out on so many other opportunities to touch people.
Totally. There are so many, what you say just brings up so many mistakes I just want to point out that are obvious about what you're saying. And they really are, you know, the subluxations, they're the barriers to chiropractors being more successful. One of the common misconceptions is that they think other people think like them, right? They go, I don't like to get that many emails. Yeah. They're not all going to want to either, right? And you forget, wait a minute, people like to learn. They might like to learn from you. There's a lot of chiropractors who say that, but then go, hey, I didn't get your email because you were going to send me that daily posting thing I'm supposed to, I didn't get it, give me my email, right? So it's really expectation management of what you're providing, how frequently. So one is they insert their own sense of, I don't like it. Two, you know, we've got a saying in our business, which we often refer to is, make the rule, the exception, don't make the exception the rule. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of fear that people go, well, if I email everybody on my list, you know, I get these people that then email me back really upset and say, you should not have emailed me today. Yeah, but 99 out of 100 were super excited or even not, let's just say not upset that you sent it. So why would you not give those that want it, right? There are ways and there's legal reasons to include an opt-out, an ability for the exception to go, yeah, thanks, I know your intentions are good. I don't want that in many emails, right? So there are ways, mechanisms for that. But many don't send it to everyone because they're afraid one or two or three are going to in some way, you know, be negative about it. And then the worst part is, again, and this is what we keep trying to reference, is that chiropractors aren't clear what they're trying to do. So they'll go, I sent an email. I didn't get a new patient today from it. why would I keep doing this? And that's really the spirit of what we're teaching and inviting people to do, is to teach and invite their community. Some will love it. Most will like it, and some will have no interest. Let's just, those are the stats, I promise you, regardless of what you do. So we really have to, you know, hopefully get more chiropractors to really wake up to today's reality and not yesterday's fantasy, and recognize that, yeah, you've got to use the right technology. You've got to understand the concept of what the tools can do. You can set up a welcome to my practice email sequence, not just a email, a sequence of emails. You know, over the next 5 days, these are the five things you should learn about coming to our practice and having an amazing experience and getting the best outcomes possible, right? So welcome to my practice, a weekly for everyone. As you mentioned, products. And products, you know, there's so many nuances we can get into. We could talk for hours about it, but you know, in one of our programs within social media, there's the gift of endorsement, right? And so when you endorse other people, you get endorsed as a byproduct of that. When you use email that way also, and others use their email list to endorse you, you're opening up new doors and new possibilities that most chiropractors, like most people go, you do something more than just pain relief? You're actually going to help me improve my health? You know, yeah. What we're talking about is more than just, we will stick a few more leads or bodies in your practice, most of which are going to leave, which is most people's experience. We're talking about building a tribe, a following of people who align with what your values and beliefs are and want to continually learn more, and therefore, as a byproduct of that, enthusiastically and authentically share you with their friends and family. And email happens to be one of those things that is really easy to click share. So there's just so, it's just one of the most underutilized power tools. I often think about it as, you know, it's the Ferrari in your parking lot that has the keys in the ignition. But if you don't know how to turn on the keys, you're like, well, it looks pretty cool. It's kind of neat, but what am I going to do with that? So there's a lot of potential and possibilities. Hopefully more chiropractors will start, you know, being curious enough to learn, wow, what can I do with this thing?
So, well, and some docs, I think, get so sketched out or like, personal. It's like they send an email, you know, to 100 people and they see a person unsubscribe. Like, I thought John liked me. I can't believe that John, you know, it's funny. And it's like, well, he might just not want to be communicated with that way. That's why you're going to use your social. That's why you're going to use other. Like, it's their choice. And as a matter of fact, that's a good opportunity to let them self-select. It's just a weird thing. And even me knowing it, sometimes I'll look at, you know, our email list and, you know, I'll see, Dr. Blank, I know him personally. You know,
yet they're engaging in the Facebook group, you know, regularly.
It's a natural feeling to feel like, I can't believe insert whoever here unsubscribe and feel a little bit. It's just the irony of it is that not that it's a numbers game and a, you know, who cares, you know, just but you know that's. That it's empowering actually when somebody does that, because they're letting you know how they would prefer to be communicated with or not be communicated with. it's not an indication of the communication, so to speak. Now, if you're just sending out junky, spammy emails, quit doing that.
That's the difference.
So, you know, we're coming at this from the perspective of that you're actually delivering something of value, of interest to them, you know, and giving them the opportunity to take the next step. And tying into that, not to go too far on this, but tying into that is ensuring, as we've talked about on earlier episodes, teach and invite consistently, ensuring that your email has an opportunity to invite them. Does it have a clear call to action? And there is a balancing point. You don't want to have 17 calls to action because you're going, there's no discernible action step that you'd like them to take. On the same token, you don't want to have zero because now you're missing an opportunity to allow them to take the next step. So being clear about that call to action, delivering the value, the benefit in the subject line so that they understand, okay, delivering on it so it's not a bait and switch, you know what I mean? So the subject line ties into the body copy. You're not trying to trick people to open the email because again, all of these things, if you want to look at your stats, and you notice your stats are really weird, chances are you have some issues here in terms of either your subject lines aren't matching up, they're not compelling enough, maybe your call to action is unclear, there's too many, so nobody knows what option to take. Yeah. You know, these are the technical details of it, but when the technical details are easy to sort out once you understand why you want to do it, how you're going to do it, and that you need to be consistent with it, you start to create a map and a strategy as opposed to a, well, what am I going to email out today?
What you're saying, you know, as we sort of concluded, it's so important when it relates to that call to action piece, because it really represents who we are. And what I mean by that is desperate chiropractors do desperate things. And the implication is I need more new patients. I need this to work. I need an ROI. And when it comes from I need, then, you know, you tend to, as you mentioned before, these deep discount offers, that's an offer, that's a call to action. But it says something about you. I mean, if you subscribe to, you know, a Harvard newsletter, a Mayo Clinic newsletter, world's best doctor, world's best accountant, world's best lawyer, would you expect them to, at the bottom, have this really deep discounted, hey, we're having a special next week. It's only, 15 cents if you want to come on in, and we'll give you, everything you can imagine. For many people, that's off brand. And it actually hurts their image more than helps their image. And that's really where these nuances of learning more about, how do I want to position myself in the marketplace? Do I want to win the race to the bottom, which is oftentimes what chiropractors unfortunately fall victims to? They're like, oh, well, their offer's $39, I'll be $38, as if that's the reason somebody's going to choose you. And if you think that's the reason somebody's going to choose you, then we got to have a conversation. Because normal people, not deal shoppers, listen, I'm a deal shopper sometimes. Not for professional services, I'm not. But, if I'm going to buy the same computer, I'd rather get the computer at the cheapest place I possibly can. Or camera, whatever it is. So that's one of the main things is, so many in our profession have basically sort of dumbed down and mistakenly, counterproductively become marketers or entrepreneurs when they're really experts who love to serve and help people. And those are such different things. And we just have to make sure that our messaging aligns with the, Seth Godin, we've referred to him several times now. He says that your brand is what people expect from you. It's not your logo. It's not your tagline. It's not, it's what do people expect from you? And, you've really got to ask yourself that question. Do people expect you to be the best doctor in town with the best deal? I haven't seen, Ferraris, Bentleys, Rolls Royces, 50% off sale anytime recently. In fact, most of them actually run the other direction, which is you can't afford it and you couldn't get it even if you wanted it. And you're like, yes, I can. I want it. I will work for it. I will get it. So not that it's about Ferraris and nice things, but there is something to your brand positioning, how you want to be seen in your marketplace, and how do you invite calls to action to, in fact, build value versus discount what you do. The reality is, to sort of sum it up, Every chiropractor only has so much time in the day. We have limitations in terms of how many people we can see. So ask yourself, how do you want to spend your time? Do you want to spend your time, you know, working with lots of deal shoppers who came in because it was so cheap they'd be crazy not to? You know, in many cases, you can't even get a massage, let alone a massage in a chiropractic experience for the deep discount. You know, sure, you've got a lot of activity going on, but how sustainable is it? And does it align with your brand? And your brand being how you want people to perceive you in the marketplace. That doesn't mean there's not a time and a place to lower the barrier and give people an opportunity to come in and see you. It's not all discounts aren't bad. But you can smell the cheese when it's cheesy. And I'll sort of leave it at that.
I like it. If you'd like to learn more about email, really the technical and tactical aspects of it, head over to smartchiropractor.com/genius. At that address, there's a variety of smart guides. These are tools to help you grow your practice. And stay tuned for next week's episode, where we're going to talk about why your chiropractic website isn't enough. I know probably 80% of docs out there don't like their website. So if you don't, you definitely want to tune in. If you're one of the 20% that does, we're going to expose some things that you might be unaware of, showcase some ways that you can think about websites, about patient acquisition, about building relationships in a new way. For Dr. Jason Deitch, I'm Dr. Jeff Langmaid. We will see you on the next episode.
This episode brought to you by The Smart Chiropractor. At The Smart Chiropractor, we solve the two biggest chiropractic marketing challenges, content and consistency. We combine an incredible content library with powerful automation tools to supercharge your marketing. The result? More new patients, more referrals, and more reactivations with automated digital content marketing. Here's what Dr. Matthew Barnhart had to say. We have loved this. We have already had 5 patient reactivations from the emails in 1 week. To learn more and get started, visit thesmartchiropractor.com today.